There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Sure glad to have you along. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, plus social media. Go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all kind of great stuff going on. And the stories we talk about here on the show, on our social media platforms as well. And yes, thank you for all the text. And I think I will probably within the next 2 weeks before the Fort Bims reenactment, we'll have, and I don't know how they're doing that this year, but we'll have John Sledge back on the show. Always a treat to have him on to talk about history of our area. All right, I mentioned we talked to our Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us right now, and so much to talk about. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Sean.
Hey, good to have you on as well, and I'm trying to make some it's dangerous. Make some sense out of what's happening right now between the House and the Senate in Washington, and where we go for the. Are we going with a HEALS Act or a HEROES Act, or you know, what about PPP? What about stimulus checks? What do you know? What can you tell us?
Well, as you know, the Senate Republicans, or some of them, I guess, put forth this HEALS Act proposal early in the week. A lot of Senate Republicans came out against it, and we over in the House really, you know, are kind of just watching it because we're a little perplexed as to what's going on. And then, of course, they sit down, the White House sits down and tries to do a deal with Pelosi last night and offered them four months of the $600 a week unemployment insurance payments. And Pelosi and Schumer turned it down. So when we had the last vote just a little while ago on the floor, I turned to the floor staff and I said, what's the plan? They said, you're on 24 hours notice. I said, what's your best guess? They just shrugged their shoulders. So I guess I'm shrugging my shoulders. I have no idea what we're doing.
That, you got to understand, from a citizen's perspective, that's worrisome. You know, from a business owner's perspective, that's worrisome.
I agree. I thought the HEALS Act was has parts of it that I could support, parts of it I didn't like. And I certainly don't like the fact that we're trying to give away 4 months of these unemployment insurance payments, getting nothing in return. And even doing all of that, we're not anywhere near a deal. And here's what I've concluded. Pelosi and Schumer don't want a deal. They want this thing to get worse, to make the president look worse, to help with them in the elections. And then their calculation is, then, you know, we'll take everything over, Senate, House, presidency, in January, then we'll run this place the way we've always wanted to run it, which is to grab power from everybody else, stuff power in our own pockets, and then we'll spend as much money as we want on whatever we want.
And so this is just, there's what was the metaphor the other day that Speaker Pelosi had? This was like a flamingo and a giraffe, and I don't know which bill was the flamingo, which was the giraffe, but she said she couldn't mate them. Interesting descriptor.
First of all, the fact that she's using a crazy metaphor like that tells you where her mental condition is. Yes, you can. You can work these things out. And we do it all the time, by the way. You get people who are serious-minded and acting in good faith in a room, and you just work it out. You just have to grind away and work it out. They're not willing to do that. That's the bottom line. So my guess is that we don't get a deal. And I just think they don't want any type of deal. If they were offered what they were offered last night and just turned it down flat, then they're not serious about trying to get together on a deal at all.
And with that being, you know, and when I say perfect, I don't mean I think it, what the Democrats are asking for is perfect, but I'm just using it as the, you know, perfect's the enemy of good. So is it that, or is it just that they're rolling out a messaging bill because it's an election year. Because at the end of it, either way, there's going to be business owners hurting. There's going to be many Americans that are unemployed hurting going forward because of the flamingo and the giraffe.
They don't care. They want people to be hurting because their calculus is if they're hurting bad enough, they'll not only vote President Trump out of the White House, they'll put a Democratic majority in the Senate, they'll hold a Democratic majority in the House, and they'll have the full power to run this place. When I say they, I don't mean Democrats in general. I mean Schumer, Pelosi, and a handful of people. This is a pure power grab, and they'll make you suffer as much as you need to suffer in order for them to achieve their objective to get that power.
Between now, the very end of July, getting ready to be August, and November, or going forward, there are going to be, I mean, let's just talk about it factually. There are people who are going to lose their jobs. There are people who are not going to get a job. People are going to not be able to make rent, make a house note. There's businesses that will close down that, you know, several, many have already, but to never open up again. And so for political calculus, in your opinion here, they're just going to let that happen.
Yes. They want to make it worse. They want the country to be in as much pain as they can possibly put us in, both from the pandemic and from the economic effects of the pandemic. They'll keep fanning the flames with these violent protesters around the country. They want this country to be as much pain as they can possibly put it in, so that people will be so upset about their pain that they will vote the incumbent party out of the White House and out of the Senate. That's all they want. They don't care a whit about the people of this country. It's all about putting power in their pockets.
You know, you mentioned the violence of the rioting going on in cities and fanning those flames. Could that come back to bite them? And just looking at, you know, presidential election history about somebody who comes in, a law and order candidate. Abby, could this actually, their fanning of those flames, benefit President Trump?
You know, this is such a unique set of circumstances. It's just so hard to tell where we are right now. I don't trust some of the public opinion polls I've seen, by the way, for a lot of different reasons. I don't trust them. And we've not seen Joe Biden, nor do we even know who his vice presidential pick is. My guess is that we're going to get a lot more serious about the presidential race by the end of August. And then people are going to have a choice, okay? It's not just President Trump or not President Trump. It's President Trump or Joe Biden. And then you start focusing in on Joe Biden, and my prediction is that president's numbers will probably start ticking up. And I think people of America are going to start seeing what Pelosi and Schumer are doing for what it is, and I think it's going to come back and bite them. Now, the biggest problem there from just a purely political point of view for the president is that one thing that Pelosi and Schumer absolutely have going for them is that the national news media is all about their narrative. And so they're going to amplify the Democratic narrative between now and the elections in November. And the president, who's never gotten very good treatment from the press, is going to get even worse between now and then. And as the pain gets higher, the news media will focus on the pain, and they'll point a finger at Trump and say it's his fault.
And that,
that's
and
the
that's,
thing we're working against.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that so you believe it'll be like, whether it's a sequestration move back during the Obama administration or something else, that something that is a move by Democrats is going to end up being pie in the face of Republicans?
The news media will portray it that way, yes. They already are.
If just joining us, talking to Congressman Bradley Byrne, and a couple things here, you know, we're running through. Number one, the HEALS Act versus the HEROES Act, and shall the twain ever meet? And also just the cost on that. You know, I'm a one-trick pony on the fiscal items here, but $1 trillion of spending in the HEALS Act, $3 trillion for the HEROES Act, the Democrats' bill. Both of them, obviously, deficit spending. Is it ever going to be enough? I mean, I don't know what to do. It's a hard decision. You got to keep the economy going and do what you have to do. But at a certain point, how are we ever going to pay this off?
Well, the two men that are talking to one another on this line aren't going to pay it off. But your children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren will have to pay at least part of it in some way. So this is a generation shift of responsibility from my generation to my grandchildren's generation, which I think is like horribly unfair and immoral. But you know, up here in Washington right now, if I want to do something to try to keep people's jobs, keep businesses going, I've got to be willing to give a bunch of junk to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And, you know, it's just like an impossible situation. So, you know, there's a part of me that says, okay, let's all leave town, and maybe everybody will get back to their senses, but if we don't get back to our senses, at least we haven't blown another $1 trillion.
Yes, and that at some point, like you said, our grandchildren will have to pay back. I do worry where it puts our footing in, you know, in world affairs and realpolitik. We're coming right back. More with Congressman Byrne. Also want to talk about the Insurrection Act that had itself gutted by the Democrats, and get a take on that from the congressman. And your questions, you can drop them to the text line right now at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Also, check in with us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And reminder, too, starting on Monday, the big announcement we made this week, the FM Talk 106.5 family is getting even bigger. And now 9 to noon, live local talk from right here. The Jeff Poor Show debuts here on FM Talk 106.5 starting on Monday. That means every weekday from 6 in the morning till the Paul Feinbaum Show. Live local talk coming out of this studio right here in Southwest Alabama. And that puts us up to 58 hours a week of organically grown programming right here from our studios at Airport and 65. So Jeff Poor starting Jeff Poor Show on Monday at 9 a.m., so right after Mobile Mornings, and it goes until this show, Midday Mobile, every weekday. All right, continue our conversation with Congressman Bradley Byrne, checking in, and get to y'all's questions from the text line as well. But Congressman, so a couple things I want to talk about real quickly here, and maybe you can explain to us about the Insurrection Act and what happened with the Democrats last week. And what's the Insurrection Act? What's going on with this?
So the Insurrection Act was passed in 1807 when Thomas Jefferson was president. And there's a specific part of the Constitution that authorizes the Congress to use the military when there are rebellions, when there's insurrection in the country, et cetera. And so this was a law passed in order to authorize that specifically by the Congress and to delegate that power to the president. It's been used pretty sparingly over the years, but it's been necessary to use it. Last time it was used was in 1992 when the governor of California called President George H.W. Bush and said, hey, I need some help to do something about these riots in the aftermath of Rodney King's beating. So there are times when you have to call out the military to stop an insurrection from getting worse or rebellion or whatever. So when we had the National Defense Authorization Act or the Armed Services Committee, they tried to put an amendment in that would essentially gut the Insurrection Act or the President's authority under it. And we beat it back in committee, and so they came back on the floor last week and offered an amendment that the majority passed, but they lost about 20 Democrats on it, so it was a lot closer than normal. And what they did was they said, yeah, you can use the Insurrection Act, but when you do, you can't. The military members can't have any of the powers to go and grab somebody or see somebody or use any sort of effort like that. So they can show up, but they just can't do anything. Well, that doesn't work. I mean, if you take a group of soldiers out there in the middle of an insurrection and tell them you can't do anything, then about all they'll be able to do is to defend themselves, which means why bother with it? So I had a speech on the floor this week in which I just laid into the Democrats for it and went through all the examples, not all, but most of the examples of when and how this law has been used. And I feel a lot more confident that it's not going to stick because it's not in the Senate version of law. And I do think that there's enough Democratic opposition to it, even in the House, that they're going to give on that point in conference. But we'll see. As crazy as things have been up here, I don't want to firmly predict anything. But it's a very important power for any president to have. It's been used in Alabama. President Kennedy used it in Alabama when George Wallace tried to block people from going to the University of Alabama, and there were riots in Tuscaloosa. So there are times you have to use it, but it's used sparingly, and it's only used when absolutely nothing else will work.
There we go. So that is a little better understanding, because I saw that and I wanted to understand it. I'll go to the text line here for some questions, and our guest, Congressman Byrne, AL1's Congressman Byrne. Eric says, could you ask the congressman why Republicans aren't all over CNN, MSNBC, or any of the other networks hammering the fact that the Democrats were offered 4 months, you mentioned this earlier, of unemployment benefits, and they turned it down? If they don't, Republicans will definitely take all the blame for this thing getting shut down.
Well, remember what I said earlier. The national news media wants the Republicans to fail this fall. So, and I know this from my own personal experience, if I give an interview to CNN or MSNBC and I don't say something that fits into their narrative of events, then they simply don't show it. So we are giving these interviews, and you'll see them on Fox. But on these other networks, they either don't show them at all, or they try to downplay them. So I'm sorry, we're fighting a fight where we've got one hand tied behind our back, because most of the national news media are partisan, and they're going to use the power that they've got in the news media to put us in the harshest possible light. That's why we have to go do other ways of communicating, like what I'm doing just now. I mean, mm-hmm. Talk radio is very important to us, because it's a way to go around the national news media.
And that this part, I mean, y'all keep that in your hip pocket, because I have a feeling, yeah, that the machine's going to crank up and talk about, you know, we're going to highlight families, and I hate it. It breaks my heart that through no fault of their own lost their jobs, and here go their unemployment benefits, and it's all going to be thrown at the Republicans, when, in fact, there was a four-month deal offered here.
Yeah. Well, we'll hammer it, and we're going to get the information out there. The problem is that, you know, it's the way it's couched by the national news media sometimes is a bigger problem than anything else. But we just have to we have to do our job to go around them and get our message out there, and I think we will. And remember, when people get mad in such a way, in situations like this, they kind of get mad at everybody. That's mm-hmm. what the Democrats have forgotten. Not like they just get mad. You know, people don't say Democrats good, Republicans bad. They'll look and say all those politicians are bad. So this is something that could really bounce back and hurt them, too. So we know it's an unfair fight, but we're going to fight with what we've got, and we've won before, and I think we're going to be successful this fall.
But this is truly, I mean, the cliche of kitchen table politics. This is it, Congressman, because there's things y'all work on. I'm not saying they're not important, but things that you're working on in the Congress that don't sit right there at the kitchen table the way this one does, when somebody's unemployment benefits run out through a job they lost through no fault of their own. I mean, this is the most kitchen table politics issue ever.
Well, remember, they still get their regular state benefits. This benefit the federal government had was an add-on, so it's not like they don't get anything.
Well, I think it was too much.
There are jobs out there.
Yes, but at the same time, there's going to be, I'm just talking about the political optics of it. You know, the cameras are going to go to Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house, right in Anywhereville, USA, who lost a job through no fault of their own, and now they can't make their house note, and the kids don't have what they need to go back to school. I mean, you know that's what's going to happen.
Of course, because as I said earlier, the national news media is going to do everything they can to try to make us look as bad as they possibly can, because they're partisan. It's just the way it is. We have to have a better way of going around that and getting our message out there. As I said earlier, I don't think that the people sitting around the kitchen will get mad just at one party or the other. I think they'll get mad at all of us, which is the reason why we all should be at the table working this out. But mm-hmm. you can't negotiate with yourself, and that's what's happening right now. We make an offer, and they say no. We make another offer, they continue to say no. They don't make any sort of counteroffer. Will you turn down a four-month deal? Are you kidding me? Wow. I mean, they would have snapped that up a month or so ago. This is a pure political calculation that will look bad. They'll run the table in November, and then they'll come back in January and do whatever the heck they want to do.
This text here from Tony said, yeah, it's not only the debt, it's the inflation that printing all this money is creating. It's already happening now.
Well, we're in low inflation right at this very moment, but I think his bigger point is more important, which is when you start piling up debt at the rate that we're doing, at some point there's going to be some pain. And one of the side effects could very well be that we have a return to the inflation that those of us that were around in the 70s and early 80s remember so very well, which is terribly painful. And I would hate to put another generation through what we had to go through in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, you don't. Here, I'd give you a chance to do this because y'all like to remind folks of it. What would, like, if you went to get a house back then, what was the interest rate?
When I bought my first house in Mobile in 1982, the standard 30-year mortgage interest rate was 18%. I got a mortgage for a 5-year balloon at 15% and thought I had a deal.
Unbelievable. And I mean, we've been in this, you know, if somebody is younger than I am, you know, and I'm 48, let's say they're in their 30s or 20s, they've never seen rates anywhere but like down in the low single digits.
Oh, I, you know, if when I was, you know, newly married and I was buying that first house, if I could have gotten a mortgage interest rate at 3%, I would have thought it was like manna from heaven. I'm serious. My first mortgage interest rate on a 5-year balloon was 15%, and that was a deal. Now, do we want to go to do back to those days? No.
No.
But we've got to get control of this debt.
That's for sure. All right. So right now, it's with folks going home, Senate, I mean, you don't have any date. You said you're going to be as surprised. You talk to your staff that you're just waiting to hear more, right? I mean, there's nothing on your short-term calendar that says, hey, we're going to go vote on something. We're going to meet these two bills and make something.
The only firm date is for us to be back here the day after Labor Day.
And that's it. Nothing else on the calendar.
We've been told that we've got a 24-hour notice to come back if something gets worked out, but otherwise we're not coming back until the Tuesday after Labor Day. And I specifically asked the staff for the House representatives on the floor before we left a couple hours ago. I said, what is the deal? And they just shrugged their shoulders. There is nothing planned between here and Labor Day.
I always appreciate honesty. It doesn't mean I like it, but I appreciate. So that's the scenario in Washington. Congressman, as always, we appreciate your time, you being on with us, and telling us what's happening up there in Washington. And we'll get you back on real soon.
Yeah, I'll be around a lot in August. Maybe we can do it then.
That's right. We'll get you out of the house there for a little bit and come visit.
That'd be good.
All right.
Hey,
thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us here on Midday Mobile. We're coming right back. We'll get your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Phone number is also the text line. Write this one number to rule them all, 343-0106. And also the promo that just ran with me there about outdoors programming. Tomorrow's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Already got the guest list locked down for that. Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, joins Mike Ward and I tomorrow morning. We'll talk about what happened with the early closure of the snapper season and maybe there's a little sliver of sunshine out there on this. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow. Also, amberjack season opening up and management and stocking going on in the Bay of speckled trout and flounder. We'll talk about all that coming up tomorrow. Plus, Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, joins us as well. That's all tomorrow starting at 7 a.m. for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And while we're talking about those kind of things, fish and photo contest, we're in a new week. You know, Tracy Cook with the gigantic brim had won with the picture last week. We're now in week 7 of this. And all you do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and it's pinned up at the top. You'll see the fish and photo contest brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. You go on there, you put your picture, you, a fish, kids with a fishing picture, new, old, and then you get folks to vote for you by liking your photo, the photo with the most likes at the end of our Thursday to Thursday week wins that FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit T-shirt, and you get the accolades of friends, family, and all of us here. So good luck. Check it out. We're at a fresh week of the Fishing Photo Contest, so hit us up over at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. All right, and from the text line here, too, and I'm sending people links, and that's fine, but I can't, if I don't get to everybody here on the text line, for John Sledge, who was on with us last hour, historian, author, all-around great guy. We were talking some history of Mobile, the siege of Mobile back in 1780. Not talking about the Battle of Mobile Bay. We're talking about British in the fort and Spanish in the trenches. He's written some really great books. You know, one of my favorite books ever, The Mobile River, by John Sledge. He's got a full library of books. If you'll just Google John Sledge and books, you can find it that way. I have sent people links to where his books are, but do it yourself. Just John Sledge, remember the name, and then go John Sledge author, John Sledge books, and if you get on Google, you'll find it there. All right, so that's hopefully we can make sure everybody. And I've got actually, if you'll go to pick up the Mobile Bay magazine from July, you'll see the Siege of Mobile article, or you can go on their website and read it there as well. All right. A question, you know, we had with the congressman, and I'm glad he was frank about it. I'm not happy with the information, but I'm glad he was frank about it. They've left for August recess, y'all. Senate left this morning. House just adjourned. It's August recess. They don't come back till Labor Day, right after Labor Day. The month of August, they're gone. There's the expiration of different parts of the CARES Act is here. The questions about extension for PPP. Questions about the one-time stimulus check, or the now multi-time stimulus checks. It's gone. It's on the back burner. They're back at home. Senate and the House. The unemployment question, unemployment benefits. Unless somehow they show back up under some special circumstance in August, there's 4 weeks coming our way plus that they're not in session. They did not get it done. The House and the Senate, the Democrats and the Republicans, did not get it done. And I tell you, a lot of it has to do with the general election in November. The politics of this. The general election in November driving that. You think about all the things that they spend time on, right? The time that's spent on, impeachment trials or hearings or discussions of the rules of who gets to do what, when, and who gets to see what committee assignment documents, or documents from committees, all that stuff that there was time for. But there's not time for this. Now, do I worry greatly about the spending in both the Republican plan and the Democrat plan? You're darn tootin' I do. But they're not working on any part of this for a month. For a month. Your duly elected representatives, Democrats, Republicans, the House, the Senate. Whew, man. And it's a month of that. All right. Also, a story we've talked about over the last couple months here, and specifically this week, though, we circled back around when I talked to Todd Stacey earlier in the week about this rural broadband push. A story over at Yellowhammer News says Governor Ivey has created now a $100 million program to help low-income families with students pay for internet access. So somebody was asking about this the other day, about is this all going to be infrastructure, or is there going to be money to pay for the internet service? Well, as of today, Governor Ivey announced a new $100 million program designed to enhance internet access for low-income students during the coronavirus pandemic. Funding for the program, which is being called the Alabama Broadband Connectivity, comes from the $1.9 billion the state received as part of the federal government CARES Act that was passed in March, blah, 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 the one we just talked about that's now expiring. New program comes as many of Alabama's public school students will begin the school year online. amid the ongoing pandemic. Quote, from the governor, this funding will expand internet access to allow more students to access distance learning while creating smaller classes in school. Even though, by the way, the other day, the governor just, you know, told school systems, yeah, you need to be in school if any way possible. You need to be there in person, right? So it said the funding will expand internet access to allow more students to access distance learning. According to a press release from the governor's office, the program will, quote, provide vouchers for families of students currently eligible for free and reduced price school meals and other income criteria. The vouchers will help cover equipment and service costs for high-speed internet service from the fall through December 31st of 2020, which, by the way, that's the date set by Congress on spending these funds. Providers will contract with the state to provide the service using existing lines and technology. So, in other words, this is not new lines. This is using the old, said types of equipment and service provided for the vouchers include equipment and service for broadband, wireless hotspots, satellite, fixed wireless, DSL, and cellular on wheels. So that's all a thing that's happening out there. All right. So I know we'll be discussing that probably in depth starting on Monday. Reminder too, this show, Sports Night, Bill Finch, Randy Bergen. Who else can we throw in the short list? Oh, yeah, eventually Jeff Poor, many others, available in podcast form on the website, fmtalk1065.com. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile, and a new face from a familiar name here. Eden Barnard joining us in studio with Taylor Martino. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I grew up with some of the attorneys at Taylor Martino. I've gotten to meet so many others. I mean, you think about Richard Taylor, Steve Martino, Ed Rowan, Ruth Carmichael, Ben Kearns. And then I hear they've grown the family even more, and I'm getting introduced to you today. So thanks for stopping by. First of all, let's talk about you, because this is how we do stuff in Mobile. Let's talk about your background. You're from here.
Yeah.
Went to school here. Went to college here.
Yep. I was raised probably less than 2 miles from where we sit, behind what was the old Grady Buick.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Morningside, Mertz, Mayines, and then went to Davidson High School, graduated from Davidson High School.
Then you attended the University of South Alabama?
Worked at JCPenney for 7 years during high school and college.
For the kids, there used to be a store called JCPenney's. Y'all had, they used to have a big catalog and all that. So you were there and then went on to decide you're going to practice law.
Yeah, well, I always knew I was going to practice law. I did.
Wait. Like, how far back?
Well, I'll put it this way. From the time that I was 14 and I thought I'd wanted to be a veterinarian and worked for a veterinarian for one summer and decided I did not want to be a veterinarian. So
okay.
I knew I didn't want to be a veterinarian, but I wanted to help people. I wanted to be a lawyer. I knew. And then I went to, I was a runner for a law firm in town. Absolutely.
You liked
smitten.
It.
Yeah.
That's good to have that direction at such an early age. And obviously that's going to have served you well over the years. You have that kind of inner fire for this. And I want to talk about that because I want to talk about, the practice of law, but also specifically being a trial attorney, being a person that goes into a courtroom. There's all kind of different law, but I mean, it's a certain breed as a trial attorney, somebody that goes and takes a case in front of a jury.
It is, and it's somebody, you have to have passion for what you do.
Right.
You have to have a love of people and be willing to listen to people and to be able to delve into things and to see things differently than everybody else sees them, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, I mean, you do, and to be, which obviously you're a good trial attorney, part of the family at Taylor Martino, you have to be able to, I guess, understand people and their issues that may not be yours, right? I mean, if you're trying a case, it's something that's never maybe happened to you, something you haven't dealt with, you now have to put yourself in their shoes, to be cliche.
That's exactly right. And that's why I spend probably an inordinate amount of my time when I first meet clients, like no less than an hour and a half, sometimes 2.5, 3.5 hours to get to know them. Because if you spend enough time with somebody, you'll find a reason to like them.
Right. Well, and if you're going to be there, I mean, essentially in our system, we hire you to represent us. Represent us.
Right.
That means something.
That means I work for you.
Right.
You don't work for me.
Right.
And so I consider it an honor when somebody is willing to allow me to represent them. I don't feel like it's some privilege that I'm entitled to. I always consider it an honor. I really do.
For us, it's so important when we're hiring somebody because you then become me.
That's
you are my advocate. My situation is in your hands.
My clients are my friends from the time that we meet until hopefully death. I give my clients my cell phone number from day one, and it's on my card so that my clients want to reach me. They can reach me. They don't have to go through any steps. And I tell them, you could text me or email me, and I'm more likely to respond to you later on. But I will respond to your call within 24 hours, no matter what. But they're my friends. And
yeah.
I still maintain friendships with a lot of my old clients.
I don't know how you couldn't be drawn to that, right? As much as you take on our situation, trying to get justice for somebody, it seems like that's pretty personal.
You develop a really strong bond with these people when you go from first meeting them all the way through a jury trial and sometimes even appeal. Yeah, you develop a bond because in jury trial, you spend literally days with your clients, 12, 14 hours a day, very close together doing the trial itself.
And then, Eaton, you're talking about the work you do beforehand. We were talking before we even started during the news break, and you were kind of recounting, we're talking about different different years of your life and cases and just the amount of time, like in the weeks preceding a trial.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key to any case, is that you have to have a good case, but then you have to develop that case. You have to do the work that it takes to get that case ready for trial. And I think that one thing that might separate me a little bit is when a client hires me, I tell them, look, there's a 95% chance your case is going to settle, but I'm preparing your case for trial starting today so that if you decide you want to go to trial, we will be ready for trial. Mm-hmm. We won't have to start figuring out how to put stuff together because we hadn't done our job. And that's what I do. I start preparing for trial from day one.
I see why you get along with the crew there at Taylor Martino, because I think there's a bunch of y'all in there that like to go to trial. And that, I imagine a defense attorney can sniff out when there's, a plaintiff's attorney that they know likes to go to trial.
They know. The lawyers know, the judges know, the insurance companies know the difference between people who claim to be trial lawyers and people who go to the courthouse. They know the difference.
If somebody's listening that doesn't do what you do every day, explain that. Why is that important, that they know that you'll go to trial?
Well, because I told a client today, we're mediating her case Thursday.
Okay.
And she said, I told her, clients always come to me and say, what would you do? And I tell them, I don't make that decision for you because I'm not risk averse. I like risk. I want to go to trial.
Right.
And so it's not fair for me to put my risk factor on you. My job is to tell you what I think all the good things are about your case, all the bad things are, mm-hmm. and let you make the decision based on my knowledge. And I read, eat, sleep, drink, trial, and the psychology of it, and jury selection, and case preparation, and laws, and regulations, and safety things all the time. I enjoy it. That's what I read.
That's your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good thing to have an attorney that is your hobby and your job and your passion there. And that does get into some of the things that people think, well, okay, so Eaton Barter's a great attorney. Look at him work in the courtroom. But you mentioned like the psychology of a courtroom. That's a big field of study for people in
law. It is. And when I first started, I thought when I'm presenting this, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, I would say, well, let me tell you about my client, how bad my client is. But in truth, what the jury wants to know, or what you want the jury to do, is focus on the defendant, mm-hmm. what they did wrong.
Right.
And so you don't bring your client in until after you've psychologically gotten the jury on your side.
And I mean, that's something that you study that. We all think, of course, you go to law school, you do that, you learn the laws, you're doing the continuing legal education, you know all these things, but you like got a psychology degree going on the side there.
90% of what we do is sales and psychology.
See, that's fantastic. All right, I would talk about this too. If people go check out votenappies.com, you're nominated for a nappy, and pretty heady stuff because only 6 attorneys named there, and I'm not going to disparage the profession, but there's a bunch of attorneys in our area.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's quite cream of the crop there.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed about that.
Yo, because this was thrown on you, right? This is a thing you didn't ask for, you didn't campaign for, but it's thrown on you. But it's a good thing. It means people out there in the community like your work.
Well, I mean, I'm very humbled and honored by the fact that actually it had to be more than one person took the time and opportunity to nominate me, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Embrace it. Eaton. Embrace it. Okay, let's talk about the procedure of getting in touch with you. Somebody's listening to us right now and says, that's the person I want representing me.
Right.
Now, what do they do? First step, they've been injured. Something has happened. Something's happened to them through no fault of their own. So what do they do? Pick up the phone, walk us through that process.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, they can call the law firm, Taylor Martino, if they remember that. That's easiest. Mm-hmm. My cell phone number is pretty easy. It's 251-604-0400.
I love that.
So, you know, they can call me directly, and I'm blessed to be busy, so I may not call them back in the next 15 minutes, but I will call them back. And I, you know, like I said, I'm very fortunate that a lot of people call me.
When we come meet with you, plan a little bit of time, because it sounds like there's a lot of getting to know us.
Right. Honestly, I like to go to my clients' houses to meet with them. I've always learned a lot more.
You pick up things?
Right. They are more comfortable in their own home than they are in some stuffy law firm conference room.
Yeah. You said it. I didn't say they were stuffy, but you did. Yeah, I agree.
I'm comfortable anywhere.
Right.
It's like I told somebody today, one of my first client meetings, I had to go to a mobile home on Highway 90. A guy had been horribly injured in a motorcycle wreck, and he had a colostomy bag on.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went in the door, and it was the winter, and it was about 40 degrees outside, and it was about 80 degrees inside.
Had the heat up.
And the husband and the wife were both smoking.
Wow.
And I walked in, and I saw his colostomy bag, and she was cooking split pea soup.
I'll leave it at that.
It speaks for itself.
That is for sure.
But you still learn something when you go to somebody's house.
No, and the people like you that are so good at this, I've learned that y'all, whether it's psychology of a jury or maybe something we wouldn't even think to tell you. Now, absolutely. I wouldn't even think to tell you. You'll see something that will pull that important question out.
Yeah, and even things that, they, like you said, some people won't tell you things. Like
right.
I had a police officer one time who I thought he was faking the whole time because he'd been in a relatively minor wreck. But he said he couldn't drive, he couldn't drive, couldn't drive. After 3 years, I learned that he had post-traumatic stress disorder. He could not drive. It just absolutely freaked him out.
But he
didn't want to admit that because he was a former Marine.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been a police officer for 17 years. He didn't want to tell his boss, hey, look, I'm scared to drive.
Right.
I don't know what happened, but it flipped a switch on me, and I'm literally scared to drive any vehicle anytime. And I took 3 years fighting with that guy, not believing him until we really delved into it and found out what really happened and what was really going on. And that was on the way to the courthouse. His wife said, I said, well, are you going to drive the course? And she said, oh, he never drives. I said, never? She said, never. She said, I had a heart attack, and he had to drive me to the hospital, and I thought he was going to have a heart attack driving me to the hospital. He was so anxious by the time he got sweating and scared.
What an important thing for you to be able to relay to a jury.
Absolutely. Well, actually, it was just a judge in this case, okay. But it was very persuasive. It was very persuasive.
All right. Once again, the cell phone or calling Taylor Martino to get that appointment right. Set, get you to come to our house and talk with us and find out about our situation.
Right. Yeah. And I'm Eaton at TaylorMartino.com or the Taylor Martino number, which I think is 251-433-3131. But y'all might want to double check that because I give everybody my cell phone number.
I like that. That cell phone number again?
251-604-0400.
I love it. I love that attitude. Enjoyed talking with you. I see why you're a great fit for Taylor Martino. Eaton Barnard, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, TaylorMartino.com. That's TaylorMartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.